My name is Evan Sloop, and I am here with Jose Cordoso, and this is for History 439. So could you just go ahead and start off and tell me your name, your age, and who you are?
Oh, I am Jose Cardoso Martinez. I am 24, and I'm originally from Mexico, and I've been here in the U.S. for the last, I believe, last 15 years, 14, 15 years.
Okay. And so when did you come over from Mexico? What age?
I think I was around 9 or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I can't really tell you exactly. I know it was in 2003, and I was in third grade when I arrived here at Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Okay. And what was that transition like from moving to Mexico to the United States? What do you remember about that process?
It was really hard. I mean, to be honest, coming to a new country with no English at all, not knowing anyone. Of course, my dad had some family, some relatives in here, but it's still not the same. I mean, you're used to just having friends, having your whole family in your country, and then showing up somewhere else, it's like you gotta start brand new. So that was really hard, the whole process. And it took a while to get used to the culture here in the U.S. and to start making friends again, to start picking up the language. So it wasn't easy at all.
Mm-hmm. And so you say your father, did he have family here in the Harrisonburg area, or what was the connection that brought you guys to Harrisonburg?
Yeah, so my dad has been a migrant worker. Was a migrant worker for the longest, I think 10, 20 years, something like that. He used to work in Oregon State, and then once he finally was able to obtain documentations for my family and I to come to the U.S., he decided to move here to Harrisonburg, and the connection was my uncle. So my uncle was working here. He had been living here in Harrisonburg for a few years, and he told my dad, hey, want to try Harrisonburg? There's tons of poultry plants for your wife. There's good schools for your children and jobs around poultry plants, constructions for you to come. So that's when my dad decided to come to Harrisonburg. He was here 6 to 8 months before my mom, my sister, and I actually arrived. But I guess he liked it, so we landed in Harrisonburg.
Yeah. And so So when he came over, was he working in the poultry factories, or what was he doing when he first came over?
No, as soon as he came over, my uncle was working under construction, mm-hmm. and he got my dad a job right away. I think he only had to wait like a week or two or something like that through the whole hiring process. And my dad has been working in the same place ever since, construction, for the last 15 years that we've been here. Mm-hmm. So he went from working in the fields, picking apples and other fruit, to working construction. Okay. Yeah.
And so did your mom also work when you first came over?
My mom worked a lot of, in our community, there's a lot of unregistered mm-hmm. babysitters.
Yeah.
So my mom was like a babysitter, one of the babysitters here in our neighborhood where we used to live, because we lived in a little trailer. It was like a 2-bedroom trailer for 4 people. So she was like a babysitter during the day. My dad was a construction worker. But that was only like for the first couple of months, first 6 or 8 months. And after that, my mom was like, well, I need benefits. I need, how about if I get injured? I need insurance. So that's when she decided to work in the local poultry plants. Mm-hmm. So she worked in several ones. And then she got laid off from one. I can't remember the name of it. She got laid off because I think it was that's when the economy started to go downhill or something like that. And then after that, she changed poultry plants. Now she's working Purdue in Bridgewater. And she's been there for, I think, a good 10, 12 years now, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so when your father came over, he had documentation. And then was he able to get documentation for the rest of your family, for you and your mother and your sister? Or how did that process go?
No, my dad was undocumented.
Okay.
When he first arrived to the U.S. My dad was undocumented. He came several times to the U.S. undocumented. And during his last time, he was both him and I talk about it, and he was like, the last time that I was coming to the U.S., I was like, I'm gonna make enough money, be here for 1 year, make enough money so I can go back to Mexico and start a small business, small store. And that was his plan. But that last year that he came, that's where something happened in the U.S. where they start giving documents to several people. Mm-hmm. I think, I can't remember who was the president. Either way, I mean, that year he applied thanks to his boss in Oregon. Mm-hmm. He was able to receive documents. And as soon as he got his documents, he put the application for my family. And I believe he put that application in 93 or something,
okay.
Like 80s or 98. It was around early 90s, mm-hmm. when he put the application. And my family and I did not receive our documents until early 2000. So it took like 10 years,
yeah.
And tons of talks with lawyers and tons of money from my dad, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But during those 10 years, he was coming back and forth from Mexico to the U.S. He would spend 9 months in the U.S. working, 3 months in Mexico, and visiting us, and then we'll do it all over.
Mm-hmm.
But once we obtained our documents, he was okay. I mean, you guys are ready. You guys don't have to suffer crossing the border, crossing the desert, the river, or anything like that. So he's like, you guys are ready. So that's when he decided to bring us here to Harrisonburg.
Okay. And so what was that trip like? Did you drive all the way from where you were in Mexico to Harrisonburg?
I still remember the trip. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
How'd that go?
Man, it wasn't good. Trust me, it wasn't good. I mean, I was a little kid, 9 years old. I still remember. I was excited. I was like, yeah. Because back in Mexico, I mean, if you're saying I'm going to the U.S., they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to the U.S. Yeah, that's awesome. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to the U.S. I didn't know what he meant. I didn't know that I wasn't going to have any family or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is going to be cool. And I remember getting on the bus. The first hour, it was all cool. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm going to the U.S. And then the drive, we came on bus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was like a 2-3 day ride from Guanajuato, Mexico, where I'm from, all the way here to Harrisonburg. It was like a 2-3 day ride. Man, it was awful. It's like stop after stop. Like, you're tired, man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time. And, but as soon as I got here, as soon as I got into the border, I remember the bus stop. There was like dogs, people checking. They were like, well, let me see your documents. I was like, Dad, why are they asking this? And he was explaining, well, you need to present your documentation so they can let you in. And people were getting off the bus. Some people were getting on. I was like, okay, I mean, I guess this is normal. This is my first time.
Yeah.
And then we came to the U.S. and I was like, man, this is nice. Like, everything's different. Like, as soon as you cross the border, you can notice the difference between Mexico and the U.S. I was like, all right, this is nice. But as soon as I got here to Harrisonburg,
mm-hmm.
that's when it hit. I was like, wow, this is going to be difficult. And that's as soon as I got here, that's when I remember crying most of the nights for at least the first year of my school. I cried and I told my mom, you know what? I don't know why you brought me here to the U.S. I don't want to be here in the U.S. Let's go back. And they were like, well, no, this is your new home. You got to stay here. But yeah, it was rough for the first year. And yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure my dad was like, did I do the right decision or not? But
mm-hmm.
I guess at the end, he did.
Yeah. And so what was it like when you first were in Harrisonburg, not being able to speak English and like being enrolled in schools here? What was that experience like?
It was hard. It was hard, yeah. I remember, so we arrived. My dad had a small trailer, like I said,
mm-hmm.
a two-bedroom trailer in Country Club Road. So the trailers are still there. So
yeah.
It brings a lot of memories when I drive through through that road. It was a small trailer. The good thing was that there's a lot of Hispanic people living there. So I was like, oh, this is nice. I mean, I got to meet some other kids around the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
Which helped a lot. But, I mean, you're new to a place. You still think that everybody speaks English. I was like, well, how am I going to communicate? I remember sticking to staying inside the room, one of the rooms, and I would not come out. I would just cry. I would go to sleep crying. And my mom was like, well, what's wrong? I'm like, well, how about if they don't understand? And she was like, well, they speak Spanish too, you know? I was like, no, they don't. It's America. They don't speak Spanish. But that in the neighborhood, it got better. As soon as I started noticing that they knew Spanish, I was like, okay, so I can do this. So it got better. And then I made some friends, started playing soccer around the neighborhood. So that helped a lot. In terms of the school-wise, it was hard as well. I remember going to my first day of school and coming back home crying. I was like, I don't want to go there. even though some of the students that were in my class were in my same neighborhood, I was like, well, it's not the same. They talk Spanish in here and they don't in school. So why are they doing this? And my mom was like, well, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. And I mean, it was hard for my mom as well, because I mean, she was the one staying at home most of the time since my dad worked a lot. I remember her crying with me, and she was like, well, I'm sorry, but this is our new life. You have to get used to it. And in school, I mean, my friends were like, well, don't worry. We'll try to help you out. I remember doing a lot of Rosetta Stone. I'm not sure what kind of programs I was enrolled in, but I remember doing a lot of Rosetta Stone. I would go into a class, and they were like, all right, so you're going to do Rosetta Stone. I was like, okay. And they would take me into separate groups. I guess it was our group, like students who were just learning English. And it was really difficult when I was there. But soon you get used to it. I mean, yeah, it's difficult and all, but after a year of not going back to Mexico and anything, because we stayed here for like 3 years without going to Mexico. It's like, after the first year, I was like, okay, I gotta get used to it. The second year, I was like, so when are we going to Mexico? And my parents were like, do you know English? And I was like, well, I'm trying. and until the third year, they were like, all right, we can go back to Mexico. But I think they did it so I wouldn't suffer so much from going back to Mexico and seeing my family again, and then coming back and going, reliving the whole situation again. I guess that's why they did it. But in school, few teachers knew Spanish. One of the teachers that didn't use Spanish, he's my coworker now, and those moments when he pulled me out of the class to talk to me, play some games, those were like special moments. I was like, all right, this is awesome. I get to talk Spanish for like 10 minutes. This is great. And the rest of the day, I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing things right, or I guess I'm doing them wrong. I'm not sure, because I didn't know English, but that was the difficult part about it.
Yeah. And then so, and like aside from just like the language barrier, like were you treated differently because you were Hispanic in the school system, or was it a pretty friendly environment?
I think treated differently. I don't think we were treated differently, with the exception that my parents did got a lot of help from the school. My mom up to date keeps telling me, well, when you were little, this person used to do this for us. They used to help us set up appointments for this. They used to call us for notifications. So in terms of that, I guess you can call different, because I don't think a specific person will do it for someone else. But I don't consider that being a negative thing. Yeah. I think it's a positive thing, welcoming someone into the school system, feeling them welcome. In terms for myself, I don't think I was treated negatively or different. I think it was actually a positive. Of course, I didn't know any English, so I guess their best idea was to use Rosetta Stone and place me with a group of students that were also learning English, which makes sense, because I mean, if you're all learning English, might as well use the same resource instead of having different resources for everybody. Some people might consider that like negative. Oh, they separated you from the rest of the class. But to me, it was great. I mean, if I didn't have that one-on-one time with teachers, or having a teacher for 6 or 7 students of us, I don't know if I would have learned English as quick as I did. I mean, but having that small class with one teacher helped a lot. Because if I didn't know something, I would ask the teacher, and the teacher didn't know any Spanish, so then the teacher was like, well, I don't understand, I remember. And I was like, they were like, all right, can you translate for him? And I was like, well, can you tell the teacher that this is going on? And that's how we communicate. So sometimes another friend who knew a little bit more English than I did translated for us. And sometimes the teacher was like, can you tell him to do this or not do this when I was misbehaving? And that's how I learned. I was like, okay, so I shouldn't do this because my friend told me this, or the teacher told my friend not to do this. And that's how I just started to learn and pick up a little bit of English. I don't feel like I was treated negatively.
Awesome. And so did either your parents speak English at this point? Did your father speak English or a little bit?
No, my dad, at that point when we arrived, I think my dad had been, like I said, a migrant worker for 10 to 20 years now. Up to date, he doesn't know any English. Mm-hmm. Up to date, my mom doesn't know any English. And I asked him, why, how come you haven't learned any, you know, especially my dad. I was young when I was asking those questions. And he was like, for two reasons. One is when I came to work. I wasn't coming to live here in the U.S. That was not my plan. My plan was come, make enough money, start a business. Second reason is that when I did brought the whole family to the U.S., my objective was the same thing. Work, make enough money so you guys can have a good education. I never put myself first than the family. So it was like all about the family, all about the children. And my mom is the same thing. My mom is like, I don't care if I have to work 20, 40, 50, 80, 60 hours a week, as long as you and your sister have what you need. I don't care if I don't know the language. I don't care if I get discriminated in the community or anything like that. But as long as you two are set, that's what matters. And I think they both put that in front instead of learning English. They put the priority of my sister and myself on top. And then English was one of the last priorities. They were like, well, we have them too. We have bills. We got to pay cars. We got a lot of stuff going on. And English was the last thing on their mind. And it's still the last thing on their mind up to date. But up to date, they don't know any English.
Okay. Yeah. And then so was there a point in schooling where you started to feel more comfortable with English that you could speak it without any issues?
It started. So I arrived in third grade, in the middle of third grade. That was hard because of all the language barriers. In fourth grade, I think I had a math class. I believe it was math class, like in a regular class. And that's when one of the teachers used to give, like, if you did something good, she will have like a little chart with like a gumball machine, like kind of thing. So if you did something right or you answered a question right, she will give you one like a little drawing of a gum, and you will put it on the machine. And then when the machine apparently got full, the whole class got a reward. So all my friends were like, well, you need to say something in English so you can get a little gumbo. Mm-hmm. I was like, no. And that's when I remember saying my first English words by myself. They were like, come on, you can do it, you can do it. And one morning I came in and I was like, good morning. And I said her name. I can't remember her name now, but it's been a long time. But I said good morning, and she's like, wow, congratulations. So she gave me one. And I was like, well, I must have said it right. And after that, I would say one or two words like bye, hello, or have a good day, something like that. And that's what motivated me. And then on fifth grade, I started to talk a little bit more and more. I still have tons of difficulties in fifth grade, but I feel that it was in middle school when I started to come out more in terms of speaking. So it started mostly on sixth grade and went on. So each year you feel a little bit better. There's always words that come to me easier in Spanish. Up to date, there's a lot of words that I was saying in Spanish rather than English. But each year, I mean, you just keep improving on what you feel that you need to improve. But it was hard.
And then so moving on into like high school and stuff, did you have a favorite subject that you were studying when you were in high school? Like, was school like something that you liked a lot, or was it something you just kind of like went to? Like,
so high school was an interesting point. I think it's an interesting point for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of my friends, I think, first of all, I was really interested in math. So ever since Mexico, math has been one of the things that I'm interested in. It's like math. But in high school, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I joined the soccer team, and I was like, okay, well, my thing is to play soccer, that's all. I wasn't really thinking about school or anything. I was like, my first year, I was like, okay, I'm just coming to school, doing my thing, getting my grades, that's it. Mm-hmm. Sophomore year was the same thing. I was like, I was just going to school to go to school.
Yeah.
It wasn't until my junior year when a chemistry teacher was like, well, you got really good grades. You got A's and B's. I was like, well, yeah. And I was falling asleep in that class in chemistry. I was falling asleep. And she's like, well, you keep getting good grades and you're falling asleep. I'm like, yeah, I mean, this is pretty easy. That's when she was like, well, you probably need to take AP classes. Have you talked to your counselor? I was like, no. And she's like, well, have you thought about college? I was like, college? College for me? Yeah, right. My parents can't afford college. And she was like, well, there's a lot of ways. I was like, yeah, I played it off. So at the end of my junior year, I went into my counselor and he was like, well, a few of your teachers have been saying that you've been doing really good. How about if we give you some AP classes for senior year? And I was like, okay, sure. I mean, you guys are the experts. I was like, I don't know. I'm just trying to here to graduate so I can go to work. And they're like, okay, sounds good. So they gave me a couple AP classes for the first semester, and then I passed them. Probably with like a B or a C plus, something like that. But they were more difficult. So I was happy. I was like, I passed. So that totally matters to me. So that's when at the middle of the senior year, they're like, okay, we need to apply for college. And I was like, I told you guys I'm not going to college. And they were like, oh no, you're going to college. And they made sure that my parents knew about it too. They were like, okay, so we already called your parents and your parents are informed. There was a college night where it was like one night you went into the high school, they explained how college worked, how to pay for college. And my dad came out of the meeting. He was like, that's it, you're going to college. I'm like, I don't have money for college. And he's like, me neither, but you're going to college. I was like, okay. I was like, I'll just go to Blue Ridge. All my friends were like, yeah, we're going to Blue Ridge. I was like, okay, Blue Ridge is the option, I guess. And, at that time, I didn't know where Blue Ridge was. So, and a few of the teachers were like, you have good grades. Not to put Blue Ridge down or anything, because I think it's a great option for people.
Absolutely.
But my teachers were like, how about if you apply for a four-year college? That way you can get a scholarship, a bigger scholarship. I was like, well, I don't know if I can pay for that. And they're like, don't worry, we'll help you out. And then one teacher was like, here. He gave me like the websites and like packages. Apply for EMU, Bridgewater, and JMU. And I was like, okay, this is scary. I mean, my dad was like, well, I can't help you. I was like, mom, can you help him? Nope, nobody can help me. I was like, I was on my own. So I was filling out those college applications. I went to JMU. I went like with my dad, driving around, and then I actually went into a class, and it was like huge. So I was like, I'm definitely not going to JMU.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's between Blue Ridge, Bridgewater, and EMU. And on the back of my mind, I was like, Blue Ridge. I was like, Blue Ridge. I mean, just because of the whole financial issue, and then I didn't know if I had good enough grades, and you started talking about GPAs and stuff like that. I was like, I don't have good enough. I'm not good enough for a four-year college. But I soon told the teachers, I was like, all right, here, can you check my application? They're like, no, they look good, send them in. And I sent them in, and I got them back, and they were like, you've been accepted to EMU and Bridgewater, and here's your financial aid package. So I told my parents, I was like, well, here it is. You told me to apply, here it is. It's tons of money, don't you think? And they're like, yeah, it is a lot of money. I was like, told you. And then that's when they decided to make a deal with me. They're like, if you go to college, we'll pay for half of your semester, and then you'll pay for half of the semester. I was like, I don't know about that. So I was still thinking about Blue Ridge. And they're like, but you gotta go to a four-year college. I was like, okay. And at that time, I was thinking, by the time you make the decision, I was like, okay, I should definitely go to college then. And I saw both packages, and I was thinking of doing something like the role that I'm doing right now in my current position, or teaching. I saw myself into helping students that went through a similar situation that I went. I was like, I want to do that. And I saw that both programs had education programs, both had like kind of social work programs. And I was like, I guess there's no difference. I was like, there's probably no difference in which school I went to. Even though I really wanted to go to EMU, it was a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
So that made my decision a lot easier to go into Bridgewater College. So I was like, I'll go to Bridgewater. It's a great financial package, and they say it's great. And at that time, there were people from Bridgewater were like, yeah, we're very diverse. We're really, really, you should really come out and look at it. And I was like, I don't have the time to go and look at it. I don't even know where Bridgewater College is. So I sent in, and I was like, okay, here's my deposit. I'm going to Bridgewater without even knowing the school. So that's how I went to Bridgewater. But to just back up a little bit, my junior year, I did drop out of college because as any teenager, you wanted a car and everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I want a car. I want gas. I want all this. So I started working. So by the senior year, when my dad made the deal, he knew that I was working. He was like, well, you're working. You could be work. Pay half the tuition, and then I'll work, and then we'll pay the other half. So that's why I was like, okay. I was like, how hard can college be?
Yeah.
I knew it was gonna be hard. I was like, I knew I'm going in like not knowing anything, but I fear it would be a lot like high school. I was like, well, all my life, middle school, I didn't know what middle school was. I didn't know what high school was. I was like, maybe college is kind of similar than high school. It just was all AP class. I was like, just think of AP classes. It's going to be like all AP classes, really hard. As long as you put enough attention, you can still work. I was like, okay. So that's how I made my decision, and that's how my dad have been helping me. I mean, they were like, we'll pay for having. I mean, thanks to them, I was able to go to college.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And so how did you enjoy being in Bridgewater after you'd been there?
No. It was rough, man. It was rough. Being the first generation in college, you have a lot of pressure. I remember my mom and dad, they were really proud. They were like, oh yeah, you're in college, you're the first one in the family.
Yeah.
Of course, I have like other cousins who are in Michigan and California who actually went to college. But my family's just my mom, my dad, and my sister and I. They were like, yeah, you're going to college, great. You're setting a great example for your younger sister. I was like, good. But it was hard. Like my first semester, I wanted to drop out. Like after like month and a half, I was like, this is not for me. I was like, I definitely shouldn't be wasting all this money, all this tons of money that my parents are putting into my education, and I'm putting all this money. I could rather just be working a full-time job, getting as much money that I'm spending and saving it. It's like, this is hard. So the first time my parents talking to me, they were like, well, if you just need to take four classes and do four classes instead of having five classes, and I was living at home, so to save up money, because I couldn't afford to, like, for the whole board and room and stuff like that. I couldn't, so I was living at home. They were like, well, if you need to live in Bridgewater, we'll help you pay for that. That way you can feel more part of the community. I was like, no, I mean, that's like $10,000. That's like, don't put all that money in there. So I stick through it, and then, but there were a few times where I just was like, I need to drop out. But one time my dad talked me into it. They're like, no, you gotta stay. A few other times, a couple of friends were like, no, just keep going. It's gonna be hard. And even professors from the Spanish department, they were really helpful. They were like, well, you gotta, and from the social work department as well. They were really helpful with that situation. They were like, well, you need to stay. You're doing good. I mean, I had good grades. I had average grades, BCs, but they were like, you gotta stick to it. I mean, and they understood my situation. I was like, well, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I'm not doing if I'm doing everything correctly. And they're like, it's not about you doing it correctly. It's about you experimenting and getting to know what college is and taking something away from college that could help you in the future. And I was like, yeah, that is true. So the first 2 years, yeah, I hated them. I wanted to drop out. My junior year, that's when I kind of started to enjoy it a little bit more. I was like, okay, this is not as bad, because 2 years already on the back. My junior year, I was like, I'm going to say I'm good. There were a few times I was like, I want to drop out. But for the most part, I enjoyed it. And my senior year, I think it was hard. It was hard my senior year, just because, I mean, you have the pressure of being a senior, getting a job, especially for my parents. They're like, well, you graduated, you have a job already. I'm like, no, not yet. but I enjoyed it for the most part. If you tell me if I wanted to do the whole thing again, I'll say no. I'll say I did it. I'm done with it, great. As of right now, maybe I'll go back and get a master's or do a couple more classes to get some other kind of certification. But if you tell me you want to do the 4 years again, no thank you. I mean, I did that. I'm glad I got through it. Thanks to the help of teachers, friends, and family, I got through it, but I don't want to go through it again.
Yeah. And so you majored in social work in Spanish?
I actually majored. No, Bridgewater doesn't have a social work major.
Okay.
I majored in Spanish because, like I said, I wanted to help people that were in a similar situation.
Absolutely.
So I was like, maybe I'll become a teacher. Maybe I want to do a Spanish teacher. And up to date, I still have that thought in mind. I'm like, maybe I need to go back and be a teacher, a Spanish teacher. And maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. I'm not sure what the future holds. But that's one thing that I have in mind, one possibility. So I majored in Spanish. And I double minor in social work because that's the other big passion of mine, social work. And the professors, and I love the whole department of social work in Bridgewater. That's one of the great things about Bridgewater. The two things, Spanish department and social work, I was like, that's what kept me in there.
Yeah.
And that made me drop out. And then my second minor is culture studies.
Okay, yeah.
So I was like, in culture studies, just kind of grab into the whole Spanish, mixing social work. And I was like, you know what? This is awesome. And my plans after college, I was like, with this, I can pretty much be try to do a social work kind of job. And like I said, that's my passion. That is helping others. It might not be tons of money involved, but to me, that's not it. To me, it's helping families that went through a similar situation that I went to, so they can make it easier for them and not have to, feel the difficulties that I kind of felt when I was young. But that's what I studied in college. Yeah.
And so I know you worked with Alicia Horst and the New Bridges Immigrant Center. When was that? Was that a little bit after you graduated from Bridgewater?
No, that is actually... So in Bridgewater, like many other schools, universities, like JMU, EMU, you do internships. So that was one of the internships. I think I received that internship for social work. So one of the social work requirements to get your minor was you had to do a certain amount of hours. So that's when I talked to Alicia, and they accepted me for a semester. I was like, this is good. I mean, I got to learn tons from that program, from that non-profit organization, New Bridges. It was great. So I stayed there for the semester. And then I went to the Spanish department. I was like, well, you know what? I love it so much here at New Bridges. What can I do to stay another semester with them? They're like, well, you can do an internship for us. So you did an internship for social work. Now you can do an internship for Spanish. I was like, okay. Since in New Bridges, you use Spanish a lot with people that you work with. So that's how I stayed for a whole year. Of course, there were weeks where I would go 6 hours. There were weeks where I could only go for 4 hours. It varied, but they were happy to have me there, and I was happy to help them out with whatever I could. I mean, I didn't have tons of experience. I was just a college student, but it helped me a lot. It helped me a lot how to talk to people, how to relate to them, and it showed me that there are still people in our community up to date that still need the help that my parents once received and the help that I once received. So that kind of pushed me forward. That's when I was like, I'm definitely doing into social work. That helped me a lot. I was like, I need to go into social work. Unfortunately, I was only there for a whole year. My senior year, I think I wasn't able to do it just because of all this other stuff that I had going on. But it was great. It was a great time.
Yeah. And so what was like a normal week there? Kind of like what were the kind of things that you were doing for the center and stuff like that?
Well, it was... a little bit of everything. So I didn't have any specific things. So they have an immigration center in there, which Alicia runs. I couldn't do any immigration situations. I didn't have the experience, license, or anything like that. But I did everything that they told me to, like answer phone calls, make phone calls, do research. Sometimes families will come in and were like, well, where can I apply for a job? So I will start doing research. Let's find the local jobs that are currently hiring. Where can I find an apartment? I'm like, well, let's do some research. They showed me how to fill financial aid documents. I was doing a little bit of interpreting, not so much, but since a lot of them spoke in Spanish, so there's no need for interpreting, but a lot of translating. So they were like, can you translate this birth certificate that was in Spanish to English? I was like, okay, I'll translate it. Can you translate this? Sure, why not? I helped a couple fundraiser events. Mm-hmm. Finding sponsors for an event as well. So it was just a little bit of everything. You just don't know what you're coming into. You come in, you might for 4 hours, they could go really quickly because you have a line of people, or you might be like, well, we only had 2 people in. But you just didn't know what, because as soon as you're done with the one person, the other person might be completely opposite from what you were doing, which was interesting because you get to learn a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting of learning all the resources that are in the community.
Yeah. And then so after you graduated from Bridgewater, then did you get involved with the Harrisonburg public school system like pretty immediately afterwards, or?
Yes. So in Bridgewater College, I did another internship. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of internships.
Yeah.
I did an internship with the homeschool liaisons here in Harrisonburg High School. I only did it for a semester there. That was all I could do at that time. And I loved it. I knew what the job was kind of about, just from people in the community and from other homeschool liaisons that I knew and I had talked to. I was like, well, what is your job about? And they were telling me. So that made me get an internship at Harrisonburg High School with their homeschool liaisons. I was there for the semester. I liked it. And I kind of wanted one. I was like, maybe I want to do that job. But homeschool liaisons, you only need one per school. Or unless the school is so big, then they start adding more. So positions are limited. So in my senior year, my last semester, I started to apply at different places. I applied at the correctional center, at the juvenile correctional center, and I got interviewed, but they never called me. So I guess I guess I wasn't good enough. I was like, okay,
yeah.
I don't know if I'd to be happy or not, but
yeah.
I'm guess happy because I got a job that I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't call me for that one. I applied for like 2 other jobs, and I had interviews, but nothing came through. And I also applied for the Welcome Center here at Harrisonburg City Schools. And I got the interview and they hired me. And the week after I graduated, I started working with Harrisonburg City Schools in the Welcome Center. So I was there for the whole first year. And then this school year, I started working here at Keister for the as a homeschool liaison.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I've been in total 2 years. This is my second year with Harrisonburg City Schools.
Okay, very, very cool. And then so what do you do here as a homeschool liaison? Like, what's your typical like work week?
It's, once again, it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's you're translating, you're interpreting, you're making phone calls to parents. Parents are calling you. So you can talk to you're pretty much like a bridge.
Okay,
yeah, you're a bridge between the school and home. You're a bridge between parents, administration, and teachers. So if someone sends something home in English and parents might call me, hey, they sent me this letter, I don't understand it, can you tell me what it is? But we tend to send everything in Spanish and English.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they're like, hey, can you tell the teacher that such thing happened in school? Is this true or not? And then that's when I go to the teacher, send an email, say, hey, so-and-so called me, so-and-so said something happened. Is this true? What is your story? Or vice versa. The teacher might be like, can you call the parents and say that their student is doing good, or tell them that this happened today, something happened in recess. Or sometimes they just send me translations. Can you translate this to saying home? Because we try to send everything in English and Spanish, mm-hmm. at least home, and Arabic and Russian. I don't know Arabic or Russian.
Yeah.
Someone else takes that, but I'm in charge of all the Spanish ones here at Keister. I'm also in charge of several other events. Not in charge, but to collaborate with administration. So our administration does, for example, a Hispanic family night. So our administration is like, all right, we're going to work on this. So I work along with them, try to recruit people, try to call parents, say, hey, we're having this event, come out. If there's after school events, then I'm there just in case a person comes in and says, hey, what's going on? I can explain it to them. Sometimes when it's a big event and we know that a lot of parents are coming, I act as an interpreter. Mm-hmm. So I have an interpreter set, like with your headphones and everything. So as parents are coming in, you're like, do you want an interpreter, a Spanish interpreter? Yes or no? And they're like, yes. You give them a headset. Then once the event starts, you're just interpreting the whole event. Okay, yeah. So yeah, so it's a lot of things. Yeah. There's a lot of things that come in. So to say I do this specifically every day, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my day varies, just like in New Bridges. I might be really busy one day doing a lot of translations, but the next day I might be working on an event with my administration, mm-hmm. or I might be doing something else with the teacher or student. Yeah, so it's awesome. It's a lot of work, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And so kind of backtracking a little bit, back to when you were growing up here in Harrisonburg, were you involved in any sort of like religious community here in Harrisonburg when you were growing up, you and your family?
Well, yes. Traditionally, Hispanic community is very Catholic. Mm-hmm. They come that, especially in Mexico. So my dad and my mom were very Catholic. So we went to the local Catholic church. I didn't enjoy it. I mean, like most 9-year-olds, I'm like, what do you got to go to church for? But yeah, they were really involved in, I wouldn't say very, very involved, but they were part of the Catholic church. They went every Sunday, just like any other person would go to church. And they made me go. But after that, I don't know if my mom or dad ever did something else.
Yeah.
I don't remember doing anything specific with the church. I know my parents made us go. Mm-hmm. They were like, you got to go on Sunday. I was like, okay. I mean, and I had no option. I mean, I was young, so they made me go. Yeah.
And so when you were growing up, so I know that when you first moved here, you were in that like 2-bedroom trailer.
Yeah.
Did that change as you were growing up? Did you move around at all, or were you mostly just in that same area?
No, that did change. So when my dad arrived, he bought the trailer. We stayed there for 3 years. So like I was telling you, my parents were working long hours.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had a plan. He was like, I'm gonna work, I'm gonna get some good education for my children, and I'm gonna find a bigger place. And up to that, I was like, why? He's like, well, trailers were cheap. They're cheap. I mean, not so cheap, but affordable. They're like, the parking space is affordable. The situation that your mom and I were just made sense. It made a lot more sense than getting an apartment. So we were there for 3 years. In 2006, I still remember in 2006, my dad bought the current home where we are right now. So he actually bought a home here in Harrisonburg, and he's like, okay, so this is what I came here for. I came here to bring you guys to work, to buy a home. That's his American dream. And so he bought his home. He's still paying it. I mean, we say buy, but he's still paying it. And that's where we moved to the house, and we've been there ever since, unless they plan to sell it sometime soon, but I don't know. Yeah, so I've been there since 2006, so okay. It's been quite a while now.
And so how has the area changed at all? Like, just Harrisonburg in general, has that changed at all since you first moved here, like seeing it over the course of 15 years or so?
I think it has changed a lot. I mean, a lot more businesses coming in terms of people. I feel a lot more diversity has been happening. Not that back then there was not, but I feel that when I arrived, there was less diversity. You can tell there was less places where they knew Spanish, where they had Spanish speakers. Nowadays, you go somewhere to a store, I'm pretty sure you can find a worker that knows Spanish in the store. Not a lot, but you can find someone, or someone that speaks another language. I'm pretty sure that if you go to a doctor, there will be interpreters. So I have seen the community grow and be more diverse in the last last couple of years, and I feel that it's gonna become more diverse as more cultures come in, and we're gonna need more interpreters as well. We're gonna need a lot more interpreters, translators that are gonna be able to help us. Of course, there's those that speak Spanish, but what about the other ones that know Swahili, Tigrinya, Russian? They're a little bit more difficult to find. What about those families? So we're gonna need a lot more people that can help the community in those kind of languages. But yes, it has become a lot more diverse, a lot bigger, and I'm just grateful to see this change, and I'm really excited to see what Harrisonburg becomes in the future. Yeah.
And then looking towards the future, do you plan on staying in Harrisonburg for a long time, or do you have any plans on leaving the area?
With that is questionable. Yeah,
absolutely.
In college, like I said, I wasn't getting any calls back to get a job, so I was really planning on moving to California, just because I have family over there.
Okay, yeah.
I got a few uncles who live over there. I was like, maybe I gotta go over there. That's like social work. That's like, where else could you go and be like a social work?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe over there. But I got a job here, so I stay put. Right now, I am really happy with my job. I am enjoying it. For the short term, no. I plan to stay here in the area. Of course, I don't know. Maybe in the long run, I might move.
Yeah.
But I don't have any plans of it right now. I really love how diverse this area is, and that is one of the things that has made me stay here in Harrisonburg and not try to go somewhere else.
Yeah. And so how much younger is your sister than you?
I'm 24, almost 25.
Mm-hmm.
She 19.
Okay.
I would say 19.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's currently at UMU.
Mm-hmm.
She's starting to be an RN, nurse. She has one more year, and then to work or get her master's. I don't know what her plan is. She's a little bit, her story is a lot different than mine, just because I came a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
She was probably like 3, so she was able to assimilate a lot better than I did into the whole education program. And which has helped her a lot, and especially in her education career. And I'm proud of her, but her story is a lot different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Up to date, I don't know, I feel that I am, up to date, I feel that I don't belong here to the U.S., but I also don't belong to Mexico. I have, my life has been in Mexico. A lot of my memories have been from Mexico, but a lot of my recent memories are also from the U.S. So I feel that I'm split in between.
Yeah.
I'm not from here, not from there. I'm right in between. I don't know how to describe it, which could be hard and easy at the same time. But in comparing that to my sister, if I tell my sister, she feels more American, even though she was born in Mexico.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, yeah.
Absolutely. And so what are your thoughts on... kind of on the national stage, some of the rhetoric and some of the policies that are being taken away or put into place, depending on what they are, so specifically like around DACA or stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that? And
I'm really sad. It's a sad time for our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just for the Hispanic community, for all diversities here in the U.S. It's a sad moment. I don't agree.
Yeah.
I don't agree with a lot of the things that is going on in the media. I have tons of friends who benefit from DACA, tons of friends. So it's sad. I mean, it's sad seeing them suffer. It's sad hearing the stories saying that, hey, I might be here today, but maybe tomorrow I'm not, or I might get split up from my parents. I have friends who were born here who are under DACA. No, friends who were born in Mexico but were brought here to the U.S. At a very young age, 1 year, 2 years. So they don't really know Mexico. I consider myself lucky. I know Mexico. So if I ever go back, I know how everything works. But they don't. They were actually raised here even though they weren't born here. So I feel sad. I feel really sad. I don't think Harrisonburg compares to that. I think Harrisonburg is a lot more open to diversity than some parts of the U.S. And I think the majority of the U.S. is also very open to diversity. I think there's very few close-minded people in the U.S. in general. Unfortunately, they think they have their way of thinking, and I mean, I can't really do anything about it. I hope I could change it, but I can't. The only thing we can do is continue to support our diversity here in Harrisonburg and in the U.S. And like I said, I'm pretty sure the majority of the U.S. is very open to diversity.
And so, just lastly, what would you like students or just anyone that might come along these archives, what would you like them to take away from your story as it relates to, you know, immigration as a whole or immigration to Harrisonburg?
Each story is different.
Yeah.
Take into perspective the story of everybody. Each immigrant is different. I consider myself lucky because I didn't have to cross the border undocumented, or as some people will say, illegally. I consider myself lucky. There are tons of people in this community that are not as lucky as I am. And I would say before you judge someone, you really got to know their story first before you can even comment it on it. Each one is different. I would say accept diversity, because we all bring something to the table. And if you accept it, and as long as you're in a community that accepts it, that community will prosper. And there will be a lot of great things coming out of that community. So I would just say, I mean, in terms of immigration, I can't really tell you believe this, believe that. But I can say, listen to the stories, and try to reflect and be on their shoes. Yeah, put yourself on their shoes and try to see if you would do the same thing or not. But I'm pretty sure a lot of the people would understand why a lot of our families are immigrating to the U.S. once they hear individual stories.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for talking to me.